We had seen that the Rambam had explained that people do have or may have predispositions for certain traits and for certain strengths and certain weaknesses, but they're not predetermined to develop those strengths and weaknesses. And if we were to say that they are predetermined to have certain traits or certain strengths and weaknesses, so then the Rambam had said it would be a falsehood on behalf of the Torah to demand of us to perform mitzvot. And also the concept of reward and punishment would be completely inappropriate, completely unjust. Ben mi'itanu ze laze, be it between mankind. How could you punish a person for behaving a certain way if he's predetermined to behave that way? Uven me'et Hashem lanu. Or when we say that God has reward and punishment, that would also be unjust if we say everything is predetermined. Ki Shimon ze sheratzach et Reuven, im haya ze anus umuchach la'arog, veze anus umuchach la'areg. In ken madu ananish et Shimon. If when Shimon murders Reuven, so he was forced, he was compelled, he was predetermined to kill Reuven, and Reuven was predetermined to be killed, why should we punish Shimon for killing him? And furthermore, how could we say about him, the Exalted One, tzadik ve'ashahu, that he is righteous and straight, she'yanisheyu, if God punishes al ma'aseh for an action, shehu muchach la'asoto al kol panim, that a person is forced to, is predetermined to do, regardless, ve'afilu im ratza shelo la'asoto lo yuchal, and even if a person would want not to do that action, it would be impossible for him. How could God punish him for doing that? Ve'od, and furthermore, hayu betelim kol ha'itkonenuyot ad sofan. Then we would also have to say that all of our preparations in life are worthless. Binyan abatim, building homes, v'kniyat amzonot, purchasing food, v'abricha bizman apachad, or running away when it's a time of fear, v'zulatan. And if you'll think about it, the Rambam is expanding this point. Very often we say, there's hashkacha. If I'm supposed to die, I will die. If I'm not supposed to die, I won't die. What's wrong if I go to a war zone? What's wrong? Every bullet has its mark, and if I'm supposed to die, I will, and if I won't die, I won't. The Rambam's saying you can't live life that way. Then what's the point in buying a home? If you're supposed to die in the rain, you'll die in the rain. If you're supposed to have shelter, you'll have shelter. And we see that it doesn't work that way. What's the purpose of getting parnasa? We see that we're not meant to live our lives that way. We're not meant to live our lives and use the concept of ashgacha as a concept of predetermination. No, there's a fine line between them.
I think an interesting thought is, we're talking about predetermination here, and if there was such a thing as predetermination, two people, one person had a tendency to kill, the other person didn't have a tendency, how can you punish the person who had a tendency to kill? But we're saying predetermination is different between predetermined, where you had no choice, and having a tendency. But a question that I have is, somebody who doesn't have a tendency and kills, okay, they get a punishment, death somehow. Person who has a tendency and they kill, they get the same punishment. So, but he had a tendency, so it seems like the punishment should be less for a person that has a tendency to do certain things.
So two things. Firstly, in the Rambam evolved here. The Rambam began by saying that when it comes to our traits, we aren't predetermined. And the Rambam went on to say that the happenings of the world are not predetermined. The Rambam evolved. He went from saying you can't say that a person is predetermined to have this positive or negative trait. And he went on to say you can't say it is predetermined that A will murder B. The Rambam evolved, and the Rambam said that by the same token that you accept that we're not predetermined to be a carpenter or a builder or a murderer or a kind person, by the same token it is not predetermined what will happen. And the Rambam says this is the basis for hishtadlus. Why do we attempt to make things work? Either will work or it won't. No, we say no. Get a good degree, get a good job, and you will have parnasa. Don't do it, you'll be poor. So you're right, maybe not, but there is a way in which the world functions, and part of it is ishtadlus. We don't say everything is predetermined. Now, when it comes to the question of, is it fair that the punishment for one who, this is a greater challenge, is going to be equal to the punishment for one where it's a lesser challenge. So here we enter the realm of the Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. In this world, so Bet Din is limited. And Bet Din has to judge based upon a series of laws. And God gave us a series of laws called the Torah. In the world to come, it could be that the Mabit writes this. He says, let's say one person, his potential is to learn 10 daf in a year. And another person has a potential to learn 1,000 daf in a year. So they both work. And this guy fills his potential, he learns 10 daf in a year. And the other guy, he doesn't fill his potential, he learns 100 daf a year. But he could have learned 1,000. So then the Mabit says, for sure, the guy who learned 10, even though he accomplished less, you look, he did a tenth of what the other guy did. But the other guy did a tenth of his potential, and this guy filled his potential. So says the Mabit in Bet Elokim, this guy who filled his potential is going to get more sachar, he's going to get more wages in the world to come because he filled his potential. God doesn't look in the world to come, in God's calculations, God doesn't use the same scale as this world. In our world, we have a series of laws. You do X, the punishment is Y. But when it comes to God's calculations, so that's where what you're saying comes into play. That's where God can take into account how much was his challenge. But in our world, so God had to give us a series of laws. Yeah? Make sense? Okay. V'chol ze hebel v'dvarim betelim be'echlet. And to say that everything is predetermined is utter nonsense, says the Rambam. Meneged ha-muskal v'ha-murgash, and it's antithetical to what we see with our intellect and what we sense. V'heres chomat ha-Torah, and it is the ruining of the fortress of the Torah. V'la'niach ki Hashem yitala avel, and it is, and if one says things are predetermined, it is the equivalent of taking the assumption that God does things that are unfair. Chalila lo mikach, God forbid that we should say that God does such things. And now we're holding the next paragraph. Aval ha'emet, now that we've gone against this, the antithesis, now what is the thesis? Aval ha'emet, but the truth is, she'en bo safek, and this is undoubtedly the truth, she'kol ma'asei ha'adam mesurim bi'ado. All of man's actions are within his control. Im rotze osev, im rotza lo yaseh. You want to do it, you don't want, don't do it. Le'lo echech ve'lo kfiyah alav bekach. There's no forcing of a person to do things. And that's why we have commandments. And that's why God tells us, behold, I've given before you today life and good, and death and that which is bad. God tells us, choose life. So that means I have a choice, right? I have free will. And God gave us our own ability to choose which way we'll choose, good or bad. And that's why God gave punishment for those who transgress. And God made that there will be reward to those who obey. God says, if you listen, then things will go well. If you don't listen, things will go bad. And God made it obligatory to learn and to teach. We have an obligation to educate our children. Why? Because a person can change. If we learn, then that's the source of becoming a good person. So God gave us an obligation, study. And that the basis for saying study the Torah is that you can be a good person. Nothing is predetermined. V'limatem otam, God tells us, learn the Torah, u'shmatem nasotam, then watch to obey. U'sh'al kol ma she'ne'emar b'limud u'kiyum mitzvot. And everything else the Rambam is saying, everything else the Torah says about learning and keeping the mitzvot, supports this belief. V'chen nasu chiyuvim, and so too we find that God obligates us to prepare in life, just like the book of truth, the Torah says, make a banister on your rooftop. If we would say things are predetermined, God already decided who's going to fall from my roof and who won't. So then what do I have to put up a banister? We have a special mitzvah in the Torah. When you have a roof that people could fall off of and get hurt, make a banister. Because someone might fall from it. The Torah says, if a person just married a woman and he hasn't lived with her a year and it's a war that's not obligatory, don't make him go out to that war. Because he might die at war. What do you mean? If he's meant to die, he'll die at home or at war. What's the difference? No, we say no. If he goes to war, he might die. If he doesn't go to war, he won't die.
So was the war last summer obligatory?
There are certain wars that are obligatory and there are certain wars that are not. There are different types of wars. The one in Lebanon?
Yeah.
Good question. I don't know.
There's a mitzvah war and there's a non-mitzvah war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just asking which one was it?
It was a defensive war, right?
I don't know, it's complicated, because we went to war, they kidnapped the soldier, we went to war. So you could do it a few ways, and you're assuming that in our times there exists such a concept as an obligatory war, which is also something that needs to be discussed. We definitely have to defend Jews, but that doesn't mean it has all the rulings of an obligatory war. Those are two different things. Meaning, we definitely have a mitzvah that when Jews are in danger, we have to defend them. But that's a totally different concept than saying that we have the concept of a milchemet mitzvah today. Those are two different things. The fact that we have a mitzvah to defend the Jew, that's one thing. But that doesn't make a war a milchemet mitzvah. There are specific laws of what has to happen and what may happen in a milchemet mitzvah. And that we don't necessarily say they apply.
But I think there's an opinion from rabbis that Israel is always in war.
Okay. But that doesn't make it a milchemet mitzvah. Just because it's a mitzvah to be lochem doesn't make it fall into the category of what's called a milchemet mitzvah. For example, the Torah says you go to war, you see a beautiful woman, you're permitted to do eshet yifat toh. Right? Do we have that concept today? You hear any rabbi say that today we have that? So you see, our wars don't exactly fall under the category of the wars that they had in the time of David. They're a little bit different halachically. Okay. Back to the Rambam. I think that even if he said it, he might have meant with certain respects. I don't think he meant with all respects that he would say you take a groom out of the cheder yichud to go to war. For example, if it's a mechemet mitzvah, everyone has to go. Would he say that? I don't think he meant that. There are other halachic implications if it's a mechemet mitzvah. I'm not sure that even when people say it's a mechemet mitzvah, they mean that it's a mechemet mitzvah with all the ramifications of it being a mechemet mitzvah. I'm not sure. Back to the Rambam. The Torah tells us when you take collateral from a poor person, if it's his garment, Torah says give it back at nightfall. Because otherwise, what will he cover himself with? So you see that the Torah doesn't say, well, if God meant for him to have a blanket at night, he'd have it, and if not, not. You know, we have all these wonderful stories where people say, if God means for me to have it, I'll have it, and if not, not, and that's it. And the Torah keeps telling us, no, give him back his blanket. If you give him back his blanket, he'll have what to cover himself with at night. If you don't, he won't. Torah doesn't say, well, if God wants him to have a blanket tonight, he'll have it, and if not, not. The Torah says, don't take as collateral someone's source of earnings. You're going to cripple them. We don't say, well, if God meant for him to have this much money, he'll have it, and if not, not. We say, don't take a source of parnasa.
Can you argue that the Torah is speaking in our terms, and so we have to learn to be compassionate for people, along those lines, and that the reality is affected by God, but we can't view it.
So there is a Gemara that says that God decrees on Rosh Hashanah how much money you're going to have this year. And when we finish this, I hope we're going to have time to discuss how do we understand those Gemaras in light of this. There's a Gemara that says that there was a poor man who came to one of the Tanam, one of the Amoraim, and he asked him for tzedakah. So he wanted to give him a fruit or something. So he said, no, I want chicken. So he said, what do you mean you want chicken? So he says, every day I get my chicken. Either you'll give it to me or God will give it to me. Your choice. I want chicken. So the guy says, really? And as he's standing there, he gets a delivery. Someone sent him a gift, some chicken. So he said, here, God sent it. Fine. So what do we do with that Gemara? So we have to discuss it. But first, let's hear what the Rambam's saying. And then after we finish the Rambam, we'll see if we still have a question. How do we understand all those Gemaras? ורבים מאוד בתורה ובספרי הנביאים מעניין זה כלומר ההתכוננות. We have many examples in the Torah and in the prophets that we're supposed to prepare. We're supposed to treat life as though if I'm well prepared, things will work out well, and if not, not. אבל על הלשון שמצאנו לחכמים, but sometimes we find our sages saying, הכל בידי שמיים חוץ מיראת שמיים. Good example. Right? The Rambam says, we have our sages sometimes say, everything is in the hands of heavens except for being a God-fearing person. Seems like everything's in the hand of heavens, right? I don't have to work to make a parnasa. It's in God's hands. I'll have as much money as God wants. That's the simple understanding in this rabbinic quote. Hu nachon. Obviously, that's true. What our sages say. V'hu amur al haderech shebi'anu. And it's what they meant is the way we explain. אלא שהרבה טועים בו בני אדם. People make a mistake in understanding this, וחושבים על מקצת פעולות האדם אשר הוא בחירי בהם, שהוא מוכרח עליהם. And, but they think, people think, that there are certain things that you have free will, and they think that, no, you don't have free will. Kigon, for example, Lisa Ploni. People think it's predetermined who you will marry. Or, שיהיה הממון הזה בידו בגזל. People think, I stole. So now I have $1 million. Well, if God didn't want me to have these $1 million, I wouldn't have them. So obviously God wants me to have these $1 million, right?
Right.
וזה אינו נכון. The Rambam says, and this is not right.
Wait, is God predetermined you're going to marry?
Correct. That's what the Rambam's saying. Wait, this is a problematic Rambam. We're going to have to break our heads over this Rambam. But first let's see what he has to say. לפי שהאישה הזו, for this woman, אם לקחה בכתובה וקידושין, if he marries her, and he marries her legally, he does the engagement and marriage process correctly, והיא מותרת לו, and biblically she's a woman, he's allowed to marry, ונסה לפריה וריביה, and he married her for the sake of procreating, הרי זו מצווה, so in marrying her, he performed the mitzvah, ואין השם גוזר על עשיית מצווה, God doesn't decree that you will perform a mitzvah, ואם היו נישואיה ברשע, and if he married a woman in a wicked fashion, a woman that he was prohibited from marrying, הרי זו עבירה, then his marriage with her is a biblical prohibition. ואין השם גוזר על עבירה, God doesn't decree that we will transgress. So what are you going to say? A person married his sister. In heavens, 40 days before he was born, they decreed he'd marry his sister. Would you say such a thing? But that's the woman he married. We say that 40 days before a person's born, they decree in heaven who he's going to marry. But he ended up marrying someone that's a biblical prohibition. So did they determine in heaven 40 days before he was born that that's who he would marry?
Yes.
And someone else marries someone who it's a mitzvah for him to marry. What are you going to say? 40 days before he was born in heaven, they decreed he'd marry that person? Yeah, Ari's upset.
It's
I'm with you.
He's switching it that way.
No, it's
switching it. No?
I'm listening. I'm
not.
Yeah, he's saying it sure determines who you'll marry. So that's who that's going to be, who you're going to marry. It's not saying that this person who you married is the person that Hashem chose that you're going to marry. It's a difference.
I think that one person chosen, but
for example, if you marry two people, right? And Hashem said you're going to marry one person. Right. So then.
You're saying that when God decrees 40 days before a person's born who he's going to marry, that's not a decree that he must marry her. That's just a revelation.
No, it's not. Well,
that's what you're saying,
no,
right?
He
decided, but God revealed. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that if God said you're going to marry this person, it's not saying that you're not going to be marrying another person.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're saying that's possible. Fine. I don't think that that's how we'd read the Gemara. I think there is an understanding in the Gemara that goes your way. It's a complicated Gemara. I think some Rishonim do learn your way with a little bit more details. So let's see how the Rambam's learning it so far. Let's see. The Rambam's developing a thought.
In divorcee also, bring the same divorcee.
So the Gemara discusses divorces and second marriages. That's all discussed in the Gemara.
No, not exactly.
The Gemara discusses that second marriages are not announced 40 days before a person's born. That's what the Gemara says.
They're announced
20 days. So the Rambam says it's not predetermined who we will marry. או שיהיה הממון הזה בידו בגזב, זה לא נכון, כפי שהאישה הזו היא מכלל, right, that's what we just saw, ואין השם גוזר על עברה. God doesn't decree that we will perform a mitzvah or that we will perform a sin. וכן זה שגזל ממונו של פלוני. And so too, if someone, he was an armed robber and he took someone's money. או גנבו, or he stole it. או רימהו, or he swindled him. או כפר בו, or he took a loan and then he denied it, ונשבע לו על ממונו, and he took a vow, I don't know, יממני. אם נאמר שהשם גזר הזה, if we say God predetermined that this guy is going to make the $1 million by stealing or not by stealing, and that this guy is going to lose $1 million, if we say God predetermined that, God decreed that, שיבוא לידו ממון זה, that he'll get this money, ושיצא מיד אותו השני, and that this guy is going to have a loss of $1 million, הרי גזר על עבירה. So then it would turn out that God decreed that a sin would happen. ואין הדבר כן.